Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
The shepherds were told, this will be a sign to you. What did they do? They took off and they checked it out. The religious leaders, those who knew so much church, so much religion, so much Bible or scripture, they knew it. They just didn't check it out. They didn't go. They didn't do. They were hearers of the word, not doers. You know, it's the doing that makes the difference, not the knowing.
Reading the Bible is always a good thing. The only pitfall comes in becoming so complacent that it's just head knowledge. Today, Pastor Troy teaches through one of the most familiar parts of Scripture, the Christmas account. Like Mary and the shepherds, make sure to respond to the Word of God as soon as you hear it. Now, make sure and stay with us after Pastor Troy's message. I want to share our contact information, as well as how you can receive a free copy of this broadcast. Now, here's Pastor Troy with today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock.
You know, you can make mistakes in life. But what God's concerned about is not that the mistake has already been made, but how are you going to respond now that you're here? And now that you want to follow me, how are you going to respond now? Because you can go and you can confess and you can say, I'm sorry, and you can go through all the things necessary to reconcile or make things right or to do the right things. And you can do it with joy because God is with you and it is your desire to serve the Lord. Or you can continue to lie, or you can continue to make excuses. You can do other things. We have a couple of ways that we can respond to life. And no matter where we are, God gives us an opportunity to shine a light. He changes us. And whatever circumstance we find ourselves in, we can be His vessel. But see, to be a useful vessel, you must empty yourself of you. Empty yourself. Think of how Mary had to empty herself of all those plans. Mary made many good, godly decisions in her life, which is what made her available and usable for God's glory. We're here today because we want to discipline ourselves, right? To make good and godly decisions. Decisions that put God first. This is part of the decision-making process. This is part of the habit-making process. Putting Him first, especially when it's difficult. Like Mary, we want to put ourselves in the right places. With the right frame of mind. With the right heart. For the glory of God, that we might be His vessel. But the story continues. Now we're in Luke chapter 2, verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria, so all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Second reason we are here today on Christmas is to make time for him. To make sure that we do make quality time for him. We don't want to be like the innkeeper who on that busy day said, there's no time for you, there's no room for you here today, and thus missing Christmas. We want to make sure that as followers, as believers, we do make time. We're not here because it's Christmas. We're here because it's the Lord's Day. It's Sunday. It just happens to fall on Christmas, which gives us a choice to make. A difficult choice. And so we learn to prioritize. And that's why we're here, because there is room for him in our life, in our schedule. In fact, you know what happens in the world? When things get busy, when holidays happen, when there's no time, he's often the first to go. Prayer especially is. Communication with him. That's the world's approach. Get rid of the things you can't see. But we live a life by faith, and the one who's most important is the one we can't see. And so we put him first. We make time for him. In fact, one of the reasons that God doesn't always use those who are so mighty and so great and so noble is because very often they're mighty, great, and noble because they are so busy pursuing those things. Because God gives to those that he wants to give. We don't have to busy ourselves trying to get and gain. Scripture says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. What things? Well, he said they seek after clothes and everything, the practical things of life, the daily things, a living. They seek after it. He says, hey, look, you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and I'll give you everything you need. When we can learn to do that, it'll change our life. It'll change our priorities. It'll cause our lives to become powerful for the glory of God. Some lowly shepherds, they didn't have a whole lot on their social calendar. And so God met them. And they were used to bring the news that the Lord had come. Now, Mary and Joseph didn't have to be told that, but it's a good reminder after going through childbirth. Angel showed up and said, the Lord has been born. This is crazy. Such good news for the world. Verse 8 says, now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them. The glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there's born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You'll find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. Jesus was born, Son of God. Jesus was born God, accessible to men. Not born in a palace where no one could get, not even born in the inn where it might take money to get in. But born in a place where everybody could come. Anybody could come, with or without money. It was free. It was a free gift. God made time for us. And so I think it's the least that we can do is to make time for him. In Romans, we read, we should offer our bodies up a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable, pleasing to him, for this is our reasonable service, considering what he has done. Now turn with me to Matthew chapter 2, verse 1 through 12. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ would be born. So they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, but you, Bethlehem of the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also. When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. A couple of things about the Christmas story. One, the wise men were not there at the same time the shepherds were. The shepherds had come and gone already and gone back to their place. The wise men, at the time the star appeared, began to follow the star and then showed up probably months, some say maybe even a couple of years later, but certainly at least a few months, traveling, preparing and traveling a long journey. They came later, and it says that they came not to a manger, but to a home. So at this time, they had actually made their home in Bethlehem. They decided to stay there. Let's just stay here for a time, raise up the child, and find out what we're going to do after this. But we're not going to take the trip back right now. So they actually homesteaded there. And then the Magi show up and worship. The reason that we're here today is the same reason the Magi appeared. Because they didn't want to miss Christmas. They didn't want to miss this experience. We want to experience Christmas or Christ Mass, church service that remembers the Christ story, the story of his birth, rather than to miss it. As we close, I want to contrast some in the story who did miss Christmas with those who did not miss Christmas. The first who missed Christmas was the innkeeper, and the reason he missed Christmas was he was too busy. He was too busy, and so he missed Christmas. The second who missed was Herod. Let me just explain in summary. Herod was too selfish. He was concerned. I'm the king of the Jews. I don't want someone else on the throne. I want to be on the throne. And the reason that Christ needs to be out of Christmas for so many is because he represents the one who is Lord on the throne. They don't mind the parties and the pumpkin pies and all of the Christmas stuff. They probably don't even mind if you say Christmas. That's okay. But they don't want you to underline Christ in Christmas or to capitalize it or to talk about him. Because this is a holiday season, not a Christ season, as far as they're concerned. But for the Christian, it's a time to remember he is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Even though he came as a baby, he died on the cross and rose again and lives to have intercession for us that we might commune with him. The third who missed it were the religious leaders. They came and they were so close. They had all the head information. They had all the head knowledge. They were called here by Herod, and Herod said, where is he to be born? Bethlehem. He even inquired of the Magi, when did the star appear? He wanted to know when, about when, so that he could figure out an age range, so that he could go slaughter the children that were born in that area. So he asked the question. The religious leaders had the answer. Oh, he's Bethlehem. We know all about the Messiah. In their heads, but in their hearts, they were far from him. They missed Christmas. Judea or Jerusalem was about 5 miles from Bethlehem. 5 miles. For them at that time to walk, that was nothing. That was a normal course of the day they would hit that. And all they had to do was go check it out. Now, contrast Mary. Mary was told, you're going to be with child and here's a sign for you. What'd she do? She ran and checked it out. The shepherds were told, this will be a sign to you. What did they do? They took off and they checked it out. The religious leaders, those who knew so much church, so much religion, so much Bible or scripture, they knew it. They just didn't check it out. They didn't go. They didn't do. They were hearers of the word, not doers. You know, it's the doing that makes the difference, not the knowing. There are lots of people who study the Bible just so they can argue it against it. So they know the scriptures really well. Knowing it does not change you. Doing it causes you to go, wow, I did what the script, man, there's a God, there's a God. Wow, God is faithful. When I do things His way, look what happens. It's the doing it that causes us to experience Christmas, to experience the presence of God in our lives. So those who experienced it, obviously Mary and Joseph, a young couple willing to lay aside everything, to lay aside their plans, to endure a long, grueling trip, 9 months pregnant on a donkey. They were willing to endure anything to trust in the Lord. They let go, and God was able to use them to fulfill His plan. But then there's the shepherds. They were considered nobodies in the world. In fact, people didn't trust shepherds. See, Israel had been shepherds, and it was a low place because they were turned into servants. I mean, they were nobodies. And so to be shepherds still, or to be a shepherd, hey, we're our own country, we're our own people, we're our own men. So to be shepherds, and that's old school, that's poor, that's poverty, that's the lowest of the low. You can't get worse than that. And so they weren't trusted. It was a place you got a job if you weren't trusted by anyone else. Maybe you were a thief or criminal, or just nobody did trust you. And yet, it was to them that the angels appeared. I love that about God. He's not waiting for somebody to be some special, awesome person and go, I'm going to reveal myself to you. Hey, I'm God. Why don't you go tell the world about me? Instead, He always seems to find those who are at a place in their life where they go, you know what? Where's my future? You know, Lord, I've made a mess of things. And He says, hey, I know you have, but what am I? I know you are, but what am I? And we say, you're the Lord. And when we respond to Him, He says, yeah, and I got a plan for you. And I want to begin using you right now. You're going to change and you're going to follow me and you're going to be on a new course in life that's going to cause the people around you to go, what has changed? What's up? Why are you making these decisions? What's happened? And you're going to be able to share what's called a testimony. Your experience with me, that I am real. And then I'm a rewarder of those who diligently seek me. The shepherds were in such a place, and God came to them, or the angel appeared to them. Because, see, God calls sinners to repentance. Those who think themselves worthy of heaven often aren't going to heaven. But those who realize they don't deserve heaven, those are the ones that God gives revelation to. You're right. Now you're willing to deal honestly with me. And let me just show you, I've made a way. So when you hear the world and people out in the world and you ask the question, so are you going to heaven? Yeah, I'm good. I mean, there's worse people than me. What they're saying is, yes, I'm good enough. Whenever you think that, you're so far from heaven. You have to realize you're a sinner. And see, one of our problems in this world is we equate sinner with wicked. Sinner, wicked, our idea of wicked. So we're thinking murderer, liar, you know, you name it. That's sinner. No. You know what a sinner is? A sinner is an independent person. Someone who's independent from God. He's God, He's Lord, He wants to lead, but we live as if there is no God. I make my own decisions. I determine myself what's right and wrong. That's what Satan said. That was Satan's lure. You can decide for yourself good and evil. And so men who live that way don't know the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus Christ. So it's not that someone's a bad person. You can be a good person and you're still a sinner. That means you're selfish, you're independent, you do things that maybe the Lord wouldn't have you do, wouldn't want you to do. They're maybe rebellious toward Him. Not in a bad way, but it could be something as simple as You know, I want to make sure my child gets all A's. And so I'm real hard on them and I put them in this top-notch school and we spend our money there. But the Lord says, you know what? I want you to trust me. Stop beating them so hard and just trust me. Instead, I think, no, that's not going to work. I see the way kids turn out and I do it my way. You know what that is? That's rebellion. That's not trusting the Lord. That's called being a sinner. I'm a sinner. I think I have better ideas than God. That's what that is. So we're sinners. God's calling us to repentance, to return to Him and let Him again lead in what is right and what is wrong instead of us. And we've got some wacky ideas about right and wrong. We're all confused. We all have our own standards. We can't even agree about right and wrong. That's why we need one who will make that decision. It's not our president. It's not some king somewhere. It's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, who decides. Then there are the Magi. The Magi, they didn't miss Christmas either. They traveled long, far. Contrast them with the religious leaders who wouldn't travel 5 miles. I don't know how far you traveled today, but unlike Herod, the Magi got off their thrones because they were very well-to-do. They got off their thrones and humbled themselves, took the trip, and bowed themselves before Him. They let a star lead them. He's asking us to let the Holy Spirit lead us, that we would get off our thrones. I don't know how far you traveled to get here this morning, but no matter how far you traveled, you're here. And you relate more to the Magi today than to Herod, and that's good. Good decisions. We are here that we might be clean, available, Christ-centered, to be His vessel, that we might be available and useful to carry this gift to a lost world. Our strange sense of commitment to the Lord, to be in His house on this day, shines an unfamiliar light to those who are in darkness. They don't get it. A light that says God is good, God is Lord, and this is the least I can do. And we carry this good news in something less than desirable. I mean, couldn't we have a gold body or something, you know? Something precious? But we're wasting away. We're sinners. We're selfish. And yet we carry this good news in such weak vessels. And it reminds me of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, where it reads, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us." Because what happens, the good decisions that we make, the times where we represent Him the most, with the most power, it's not us. It's because He is good, He is God, and we listened to Him. So go enjoy the rest of Christmas. Enjoy the meal. This is the day the Lord has made. And God is so good that He's blessed us so much that for most of us, we have friends and family, food, and gifts awaiting us as we go back. There are so many who don't have much, don't have anything. We're very blessed by God. So let's go and give thanks for the things that we have, but let's give thanks for the one gift that was the greatest gift of all. Jesus Christ, born, dying on a cross, available to us now.
The birth of our Savior is a beautiful and glorious event that has been celebrated throughout history. Jesus' life touched many others and continues to do so even today. Pastor Troy Neely has been sharing insights into this momentous occasion and the extraordinary events surrounding it here on Building on the Solid Rock. If you'd like to hear more teachings from this Advent series, visit our website at buildingonthesolidrock.com. You'll also find additional messages on a variety of topics, all shared from the pages of the Word of God. You'll also learn more about the ministry of Building on the Solid Rock, as well as the church behind it, Calvary Chapel Solid Rock in San Antonio, Texas. If you're in the area, we'd love to have you join us for our weekly services. You'll find service times and directions at buildingonthesolidrock.com, and we can't wait to meet you. From all of us here on the production team, we want to say Merry Christmas. That's all the time we have for today. Join us next time for another in-depth look at God's Word right here on Building on the Solid Rock.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in Him. Come have your way in us.
Come have